the buzzer. They've poured on its way. Oh my goodness.
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do. Florida
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Speed spread. I'll tell you, emergency podcast, you had to have it with Jalen Green to side and then Isaiah Todd. We're going to have Isaiah Todd here with us, and then we're going to have the professor, Leonard Hamilton. By the way, the youngest looking 70-year-old in America, but also a guy that's seen it all. Have a chance to visit with him. What do you think about that?
He's great. I think Isaiah Todd, people want to know what goes into that decision. They want to know. He's going to Michigan. No, he's not. So this is the topic of conversation in college hoops, and that's why you listen to this podcast, because we give you what you want, people.
It's the world's greatest podcast. There's a reason. All right, welcoming in Isaiah Todd. Isaiah, huge day for you today, huge day for your family. What went into your decision to decide to be part of this NBA Academy?
I just think about what was going to be best for my game, what was going to be best for my family. And, you know, at the end of the day, my lifelong dream has always been to play and start. Better in my game by just learning from the vets and learning from the coaches. I feel like, you know, I'll be best prepared to do that.
Isaiah, how long had you been thinking about this? It was, you know, you commit to Michigan, and now you're doing this. How long was the process to make this final decision?
You know, we've been thinking about it. You know, it's been ever since pretty much this coronavirus has been going around, you know, and I really was – at first, my heart was set on going to college, you know, with something as special as this. I think it's pretty hard to turn down, don't you think?
I had a son that played at Michigan, so, yeah, I do. I think going to Michigan was a great experience for him. Playing was a great – yeah, it's hard to turn down. Everything – both are hard to turn down, right? I mean the G League and learning to be a pro or going to – yeah, it's a pretty good options, kid.
No, for sure. You know, just this process has been long. We had to think about what was going to be best for my family, what was going to be best for my game. At the end of the day, like I said, my dream has always been to play in the NBA and to be successful in the NBA.
How hard was it to make that phone call to Coach Howard?
Man, Coach Howard is just a wonderful guy and such a good dude. And when we made that phone call, it went exactly how I expected it to go. He understands. Of course, he wants me to be at Michigan at the end of the day, but, you know, he respects my decision as a young man.
Yeah, that I can't imagine it, because I'm sure you developed a really strong relationship. So what do they – let me ask, what do they tell you? Sorry, you're going to be in this academy. When does it start? You know, when do you move? I guess it's in L.A. When do you move? I mean, how does the whole thing kind of get in motion?
I mean, right now I trust that, you know, the league will make whatever the best decision for our safety, you know, with the given certain circumstances of the world right now. We're going through coronavirus, and, you know, it's kind of not safe to really move around right now. So it's so hard to say right now.
Isaiah, Jalen Green just did the same thing. Did you ever talk to him? Did you two have a relationship? Did he ask you, or did you ask him? I mean, anything like that?
I mean, nothing really like that, but we talked after we both found out that we were going to be playing on the same team. And it's always been my guy. We've been next to each other. We've been competing since we were in eighth grade. So, I mean, of course, that's got to be, you know, something there. We have a relationship with court. That's my guy off the court. But on the court, you know, me and him, we always compete.
What's the one thing, Isaiah, like you said, right, at the end of this year, what's the one thing you want to get from this year? Like, what's the one thing, like, say, you know, at the end of this year, I'm going to be able to do X, or I'm going to be ready to, you know, is it get stronger? Is it learn the NBA game with a 24-second? Because you're only going to play 12 games. So what's the one thing you want to get out of this?
At the end of this year, I am going to be more of a pro than I am now. Just learn how to be a pro. I think that's the biggest takeaway from this, being in the NBA's backyard. Just learn how to be a pro and a young man.
Do they tell you who might coach you?
No, I haven't heard any word on who might be coaching. I just know it's going to be some NBA coaches, some NBA vets, some NBA trainers that are going to be working with us daily.
So I would love to have you on a year from now, because I think this is fascinating. I think you guys, you know, the NBA, kids have gone to the NBA from high school, but you guys are blazing a new trail. when you look ahead and you try to guess how this is going to be, what do you see? Like, how do you see this playing out on the court, that type of thing for you?
I mean, I see us doing exactly what we've been doing. I mean, we're going to go out there, we're going to play hard and give it our best every time. And, of course, we're going to wow the crowd as much as we can, especially with someone like, you know, myself and Jalen on the same team. I think the world is excited to see that.
I'm interested, like they say, you're not going to play against straight G League teams. You guys are going to potentially travel the country or go out of the country and play some games, right?
Well, we'll see. We don't have the schedule just worked out yet, and especially due to the things that are going on right now.
Sure.
It's kind of hard to tell.
Well, man, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for your family. I got to know Isaiah through the Adidas Nation stuff and our training camp, and and I'm not going to embarrass you here, but he's a great kid, a great young man, a great family. And I know how important it is for you to help your mom. And I know that, you know what, this dude is really smart. You will have an academic component to this as well, so you'll be able to pursue a little bit of your degree.
Yes, they're giving us a scholarship where it's online, so we can actually do our online classes as we train.
Nice.
That's good, because that's really important. Because I tell you, you're bigger than basketball. I mean, I all the times I've been around you, I mean, like, basketball is what you love, but you have so much more in your life potentially than just ball. You know, it's great that you're chasing your dream with ball, but I mean, you're a bright guy that your mom raised you to have a good balance in everything you do. So I wish you nothing but the best, man.
Thank you so much.
Luck.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so hey. Here's the deal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember a conversation I had with you at ACC Media Day, and I know you have strong opinions on the value of education and making sure kids don't just put themselves in a small box. Mm-hmm. So when you heard about this NBA Academy, and obviously it's going to give certain guys tremendous opportunities, but what's your biggest concern for the thing?
Well, my biggest concern is that we have a legitimate discussion with all parties involved, so that we don't find ways in our own ways trying to help our initiative to be creating issues for each other. I think we all want the same thing, but I get the impression that we are not sitting down and trying to work things out where we don't conflict with each other. I mean, I see that the NBA, I'm assuming, they want to try to create some opportunities for guys who maybe might not want to go to college, and they feel like the one-and-done thing is only helping guys who are going to school and don't really want to be there. I mean, I'm just assuming. Now, I don't, you know, and you got to be careful sometimes when you don't know all of the information that everybody's putting into why they're making certain decisions. But my biggest concern is that we have an amateur system, we have an educational system, and we have a professional system. Now, it seems as though to me, we are devaluing the importance of the educational system. And I think that's dangerous. I think that the amateurism has worked for many years in conjunction with the educational system that has given a lot of opportunities like Leonard Hamilton to people to further their life and have a better way of life as a result of going to getting the education. I just don't want to be caught in a situation where we're putting so much emphasis on getting to a place that has a limited number of opportunities. Now, I'm all for kids who feel like they are interested in realizing their dream coming out of high school. I'm okay with that. But now, and I don't want to cross this line, but am I looking, are we saying that now we have a vehicle that the NBA is now recruiting high school kids? Is that?
Well, it seems like they went after certain kids. I mean, what do you think, Dan? You agree with that? I mean,
I would say this. I mean, didn't we have this before? Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and the number of guys that didn't go to college. I mean, somehow they knew that they were going to make it in the NBA. I don't know if they were recruited or not. It's different. They're going right to the NBA. But I would say this whole thing, we just talked to Isaiah Todd about, like, to me, not only are they being recruited, well, I guess it all in conjunction with being recruited, the monetary offer is beyond anything that has been out there. And when this one,
Dan, you online
will make millions of dollars.
Well, they're not. They're going to make, I mean, Jalen Green's going to make 500 supposedly. And you know, who knows, Isaiah Dodd's going to make 400. But here's the thing. Like, think Leonard, I think is your big thing, Leonard. Like, here's the deal. You're putting everything in one bowl. Like my concern is the G League's going to end up having two rounds of a draft. They're going to try to get 60 kids in this thing eventually, this NBA Academy. Or, I mean, like, to me, where's the value of that college experience that will help these guys and not just put them in a small box?
I think there's a way to make it work for everybody. You know, I don't want to poo-poo it when I don't really understand everything that's going on. It's just that I know how much getting my education meant to me. And it changed the whole culture of my family. I go to school. My mother goes to the seventh grade. My father goes to the ninth grade. But me going to college, my brother Willie goes to college. He gets his degree. Both of his kids get their degree. Willie was a professional basketball player, but he played college basketball. I adopted my brother Barry. My brother John goes to college. His kids go to college. They get their degree. My sister goes to college. Her son goes to college. So I value that. Now, but it seems as though that's got lost in the shuffle. Now, on the NBA side, you know, my only concern is that it appears to be about, I'm going to say approximately 500 NBA opportunities. And I believe that every year you're going to probably have, I'm going to say generously, 25 players have an opportunity to go to the NBA. Now, is that a fair number?
Mm-hmm.
Is that close, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying to you, we got 6,000 kids playing college basketball at our level. So we're dealing with the elite of the elite. I don't see anything wrong with the elite having the elite opportunity. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Right.
I just don't understand why we can't coordinate this with and we get something that really, really works. Because I don't want to speak out of turn because I don't know what all is involved with this process. I do know that kids should have an opportunity to realize their dream if they're not interested. Now, I think it's a little bit of a problem. I respect Jalen Green. He didn't sign with anybody. Now, it's probably a little bit of a problem if you sign with a college team and then make your mind up after the college team has absolutely no way to recover from it. There has to be some work out where we don't put each other in bad situations, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not blaming Todd because he has a right to make his decision. But I wish that the decisions would be made so that we don't impact each other, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
See, it and I don't know if you can hear me, but it appears to me that it appears I'm with you. I don't know all the rule. I don't know all the reasons, but it appears to me that the NBA in conjunction with the G League is doing the exact opposite. Like it appears to me that they're giving a big blank you to college basketball by doing this. That's the way it appears to me.
Well, I don't think that's what their intentions are.
I don't either, but I think it is. I think that's what's happening.
You know, the interesting thing is that kids who are of that elite level should have that opportunity. And maybe that should be I don't know how to make it work, but I'm saying this. I do think it's a problem if we all start signing kids and then this time of year, we find out that they're not going to be with us. I like to work that out. I think that can be worked out where we don't impact each other if there's some cooperation between everybody.
Yeah, that happens a little bit in baseball. Here's my question for you, Coach. And because, you know, I've been at it for 8 years. You're living it every single day. It's like anything else. We see a couple of kids go out and put their arms around this, and that's great. My concern is what happens to a kid that says, you know what, I'm just going to go to the NBA Academy, and he stops going to school. And then things don't work out. Because all of a sudden, you know, there's going to be more guys saying, well, I'm going to take that route. And, you know, and they're not getting $500,000. They might be getting $75,000, which is $50,000. And they chase that thing for 2 years. Then they have nowhere to go back to because they're trying to create this, you know, academy. And again, you know, you're held to your choices. But my concern is that we're going to have a generation of kids that are chasing their dream, and that's great. But they have no landing spot. And that, to me, where it was important for my guys to graduate, you know, to me that, you know, the NBA is a business, and I understand that. And their business is to build up the G League. Their business is to make themselves more attractive. Like, they don't want to take guys right out of high school to the NBA because ownership doesn't want it, and veteran players don't want it because that's taking away jobs. This way it gives them almost a gap year, and then they can choose who can make it. I mean, what's your take on that, Ham? I mean, you know, I mean, it just concerns me.
Philosophically, you know, I'm in the amateur educational mode.
Sure.
I value that process. I don't want to be selfish and take away an opportunity that someone else mm-hmm. might have in another way. I don't want to be that way. However, I think that what we've seen in the last number of years, whenever you have, we have about 100 kids who have now put their name in, I want to test the water position. You have another mm-hmm. group of guys who've already declared and they're hiring agents. So now we're not talking about the seniors and the European guys. So we now approximately have, let's say, over 150 or 60 kids, maybe 170, pushing 200 in a pool with only 60 positions possibly available. And then you have really only 15 or 20 or 25 that actually will make it. So now you have another pool of kids who have gone through the process, not in school, in the D League or G League or a cup of coffee somewhere, and they're 27 years old, married with two kids with no education. I don't see, and that's multiplying every year, time 100. So in 5 or 6 years, I think we create a problem. However, I want to kind of see the process works itself out. I don't think anything is absolute. We have a process and guys get drafted, they get reevaluated, and some of those guys don't make it. Then you have more guys that are from, they were not recognized early, that now are best players in the league. So it's all over the place. I still want to fight for the educational process and the amateur process, because that means a lot to the masses. If you got 6,000 kids in Division I basketball, 5,700 maybe, and you only have 20 or 30 going to play at the next level, I'm more concerned about what's best for the big group. And we leave the opportunities for that small group to realize the opportunity, but we cannot create a scenario where the big group is chasing a pot of gold in a rainbow when they can't find the rainbow, and then there's no pot. Because you don't have that many opportunities available, but it seems as though we're putting an awful lot of emphasis on that. So I'd like to have some conversation where we all can figure out what's best for everybody. And right now, I don't want to say too much about the NBA Academy because I really don't totally understand mm-hmm. all what they're doing. But I do know this, the educational process and the amateur has worked for a lot of people like you and me, and that yeah. guy in that big red hat sitting right there is with him too. You know? So I don't want to mess that model up. Okay. I think that's important. And it's really for, if it's 6,000 kids playing college basketball, 5,770 of them, you know, it's good for them.
I think the educational process is devalued across the board. Like when you look at, you know, I want kids to get paid. I got no problem with that. I want kids to have opportunities off their likeness. But when the argument is made that nobody gets anything in college and these kids are free labor, it drives me nuts because they are paid. Education does mean something. But I think across the board, Leonard, people dismiss the value of an education. They dismiss the value of a scholarship.
Well, here again, I don't know if it's being dismissed. I just think that we're having conversations like what we're having, and there's a misconception of what kids that we're getting now that the NCAA has given the cost of attendance opportunity for kids. For instance, Seth, a kid who has a Pell Grant gets about $6,000, correct?
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever the cost of attendance is, that's given to the kids if you qualify above.
Right.
So most of my kids who are disadvantaged, most of them are, they get $6,000 with a Pell Grant, and they get another $6,000 to probably $8,000 cost of attendance. And some schools in different areas where the cost of living is higher get more. So you have a kid sitting there with maybe $12,000, $12,000 to $15,000 above the scholarship.
And you know, tax free.
Yes, above your scholarship. And you know as well as I do, had we had some of that to work with many years ago, we'd have been a happy camper. And this is something that has the initiative of the NCAA that I think was a pretty good attempt to try to find a way to help kids who were less fortunate. Now, that does not mean that one or two or three or four or five kids on every campus. Then, Seth, there's a misconception of this. There's about, I checked the records, there's about 19 schools in America that make money. 19. Now, see, what happens is you see Michigan with 100,000, Tennessee, Alabama, the football game. And for whatever reason, everybody thinks money's flowing like milk, you know, money's just flowing everywhere. They don't realize that the money that's made at those schools is for the non-revenue sports, the scholarships, the travel, for everybody. Now, that's true. That's a fact. There are only 19 schools in America make money. That means that everybody else, sometimes you get subsidized from the state, but no one is making the money that for whatever reason is projected that everyone's making. Isn't that right, Dan?
Totally. Yeah. There's no question. Yeah, and people think that, well, let me go there. The average basketball attendance across the board in college basketball is less than 6,000. So when I'm at Bowling Green, we didn't get 6,000. We had a gym that didn't hold 6,000. So everybody assumes college is Alabama or college is Florida State football. You know what I mean? And it's just not. It's a fact. Now, I will say this. To me anyway, when it's impossible to change people's opinion that when the Big Ten Network's giving $50 million a year to the school. You understand? Like the Big Ten Network, because of the Big Ten Network. But that money goes, at least in Indiana, that money goes to the university. That money's going to buildings, projects on campus, not the athletic department. So.
But now, let's talk about that.
Yep.
You know, whenever that money comes, you know, if you go down and write a line budget down, it's very easy to see where all the money's going. You know, when you have, let's say, 20 sports on campus and you got 800 scholarship athletes, their travel, their scholarship, and everything that goes involved, you know, that's a pretty big ticket. But it improves the quality of life. I don't know how we handle, Seth, the situation where, you know, you give kids opportunity to realize their dream if there's a chance for someone to get money from their likeness, and then keep the amateur model intact. What I said initially.
How big a market do you think it would be at your school? Say they went name, image, and likeness. How many guys at Florida State? Florida State's a high-profile athletic program. Legally, not where, you know, you hit up 17 boosters and say, you know, we've got to create 6 name, image, and likeness. Like, how many guys you've had? Look, you're the Rodney Dangerfield of college basketball. Your guys' program is as good as any program in the country. I say this every single year, people look at me like I'm crazy, and every at the end of the year, you're 1, 2, or 3 in the ACC. Your team's going to Elite Eights this year. Who knows how good your team could have been, right? So as good as your team was, you got a guy, Devin Vassell, he's going to be a lottery pick. But, like, if there was NIL this year, how many of your guys would really be marketable?
I really don't know if in the area that where we're located.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in LA, DC, Atlanta, New York. We're the state capital. We have a lot of educational institutions here with Tallahassee Community College, some of the small other schools, Florida A&M, Florida State. You know, we're not located where there's insurance, there's banking, there's medical, there's technology. I don't know what our market would bring, but I don't know if that's well thought out or not. And I'm curious to see how we make all that work. I mean, I hear the suggestions, but anything laid down to see how do we make it work, you know, where it's good for everybody. And I just don't want to poo-poo things without having all the information.
Sure.
I just want to see how do we make it work so I can make a informed assessment as to what's going on. I don't know how you make that work. I am just confused. And on a national basis, I don't see how it works. And I've been in schools where every player on the basketball team would have an unbelievable opportunity for likeness. And I've been in schools where even if I had outstanding players, I don't know where the likeness funds would come from.
Yeah, like Kentucky, and those kids were just, you know, it's just the way they live. Where like a place like Florida said, like even, and then how does a place like, let's say your place, so you have big time football. How many football guys would, I mean, like one or two guys would, like you said, when Danny Cannell was quarterback or Jameis when he was slinging that thing. I mean, how many guys, you know, Warwick Dunn? I mean, like there's not an unlimited amount of money out there. It's my thing. I mean, people think there's just people just gonna be throwing money around. I mean, like with everything that's gone, like it just isn't there. Am I way off on that or like,
no?
Like, people don't just give money away. I'm sorry.
I still think there's an opportunity here, but I really don't know how we come to this conclusion. I mean, how we sat down, put the facts and figures down, and let's see where it's going. And I don't think you'll be able to evaluate the NBA Academy and the G League thing for 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
I agree.
What's going to happen? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? That's why I don't want to be selfish and say this is bad for college basketball if it's going to be good for youngsters. I personally think it's going to be good for a few. But I just don't think, like everything else, it's going to be what everyone thinks it is, because there's a lot of guys that get a lot of recognition in college that go on and go to the NBA. There's a lot of unknown guys in the 4 or 5 years. You said, what school did he go to? Where did he come from? So what I'm saying is none of this is absolute. And we all have an argument for our own position. I just don't want to lose the opportunity. I don't want to de-emphasize the amateur model and the educational benefits. I calculated that a scholarship for a kid who goes to Florida State for 4 years is a little bit under $250,000. That's a lot of investment. When you take on the academic tutoring, the mentoring them, the medical parts, the experience of traveling, the part of growing up and maturing, the psychological counseling, all of the involved is worth about $250,000. Well, that's a lot of money. I remember my father told me, son, I don't have these opportunities because I didn't get my education. And he says, but I have absolutely no money to help provide you with education opportunity. You got to figure it out yourself. You either got to go academic or athletic. Well, we know it happened to the academic part, right, Phil?
I don't know. Whatever it did, I think things worked out pretty good, because not only did you do it, but you've impacted a gazillion guys in your 400 years of coaching, even though you look like you're 40 years old.
but you know, but my point to you is that there's a lot of value, and I never hear anyone talking about the value of education. You two guys, what happens if y'all don't get your education? Where are you?
I'm in the field of Gary, Indiana. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. So my point to you, but somehow or another, that's getting lost in the shuffle. And a guy like me would almost be put out the pasture if I act like I didn't think that it was a good opportunity for a youngster who wants to realize his dream. And deep down inside, college is not for everybody. There are some kids who have no
interest
in going. And I think we have done them a disservice by not allowing them to have that opportunity. That's why I'm appreciative and respectful of what the NBA is doing. I just don't want us to devalue one to promote another. And that's got to be if we all sit down at the table and all start looking at what's best for the overall sport and for the young people. I believe that we can put somebody on the moon. I believe we can figure out a way how to make this work together.
Ham, I appreciate you, man. I mean, I do. You know how much I respect I have for you and how much I appreciate you. And we go back a long way, and you always have a great perspective. Take care of yourself, man.
You guys,
thanks, boss. Thanks, coach. Hey,
how about giving a shout out to those medical workers and essential workers that are putting their lives on the line every day? There's dedication. That's hard work.
Yeah.
And then it's what they are doing. The educational workers, the medical and the essential workers.
And the
emergency vehicle people, they are standing on the line for us. And we need to be talking more about them and lifting them up and telling them, thank you for a job well done.
Amen. I'm with you there, Ham.
Right, thanks.
Stay well. Great catching up, Coacher. So D squared, what was your take on that?
Well, I agree with him. There's got to be some way of coming together because I do believe that the NBA is doing what's in their best interest. And I've said this forever, man. I get it. We all want to do what's best for kids, and I get it. But at some point, we got to protect our game. And our institutions, I believe that. I just think we do. And I think a conversation between the NBA and the NCAA or whoever the hell you got to have it with needs to happen, and it needs to happen fast. I don't think these guys, Isaiah Todd or Jalen Green or five other guys going to the G League or wherever they want to go, hurts college basketball in the least, other than what Coach Hamilton said. If guys that have no shot give up education, that hurts society, but it ain't going to hurt college basketball.
See, and that's the thing. You know, you did it, I did it. I used to always talk about breaking the cycle, like, you know, being a first gen. My greatest thing when I was at Long Beach State was going to graduation because it was a bunch of first-generation graduates. I love that, man, just seeing how excited. My concern is, look, I understand the NBA is in a business, and they want to build the G League. They want to build their brand. They want to make themselves. Look, it bothers them that guys were going over to Australia or guys were going over to China as opposed to going to college. So, well, why do they need to go over there? They can stay here. One, are they going to have the infrastructure? Like, you know, what do they have in place? Because it's not just having 12 players. It's not just the 2 hours they're working out. What other things are in place? These kids are going to have to move. They're going to have to find housing. They're going to have to pay for it. It's going to be in LA. It's going to be expensive. They're going to have to take care of themselves for feeding. They're going to move with their families. There's a lot to it. So is there going to be an infrastructure? And my biggest concern is exactly what you said and what Coach Ham said is, you know, great for Jalen Green. I love Isaiah Todd. I think he's going to be he's got a chance to be a good player. But you know what? We thought about other guys. We thought Keldon Johnson was going to be a really good player. All right. You know, he was a late first round draft choice. We thought Nasir Little. But you know what? That league's hard, man. That's a league of grown men. You know, getting to the league is one thing. Staying in the league is something else. So like for these guys, they all think it's easy. What was the kid, Malachi Richardson, who played at Syracuse, had that one good long run, ended up getting drafted. He's out of league now. I mean, you know, go through it. Look, we survived no LeBron. We survived no Kobe. We survived no Garnett. We survived no Tracy McGrady. I mean, look, there are exceptions, and those guys are the outliers. I'm more concerned for a guy that was in it so long that you're going to see guys just say, you know what, I'm done with it. I'm just going to put my all eggs in one basket. And when that basket's taken away, can that kid change his station in life? Will he make enough money and be able to save enough money? I've had former players that made millions of dollars that don't have any money. Let alone is 500, that's really 300. Then you got to move. Then you got to find a place to live. Then you got to eat. Then you got to buy a car. You know what? that money goes away pretty quick. So that's my concern. I'd love to see if we could find a way for the NBA and the NCAA to meet. I'd love to find a way, if we have to, you know, figure out if this, you know, NIL really makes sense. Cause I don't think I think it will impact so few guys. Like Leonard Hamilton's talking about, it's Florida State, man. They've won a gazillion games. Like, who's really just dropping dimes for them? What do you think? You were in Indiana. Alfred would have made a ton of money.
Guys would have made, got Indiana pretty good. I think Ohio State really good. Like, I think Ohio State might be the place, truthfully, where guys are going to make money. Kentucky, obviously. I don't know. Like, the reason I say Ohio State and the reason I say Kentucky, a lot of business in those cities. But let's talk about that. Coronavirus, so many unemployed, business is going down. You're going to give money to high school kid, college kid? I don't know. You got to be a hell of a fan in this economic world that we're going to be living in for a long time, it feels like to me. So Seth, I think the thing that is going to be interesting is this, because you just mentioned a ton of guys that we all thought were really good that aren't even in. Tyler Lydon has a one good year. Next thing you know, he's at home. I'll say this. It's great. It's in theory, wonderful opportunity for kids. College basketball survived, but I'm really interested. And that's why I asked Isaiah Todd where
he. That was a great question.
Because a year from now is going to be interesting. Robbie Hummel has great stories of playing in the biggest leagues in Europe and having to go down the hall and go get his own ice or
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in a year from now. What minor league basketball? Because that's what it is. I mean, it's not the big. It's triple A.
It won't even be triple A because here's the deal. And here's the other thing. And I agree with you 100%. You're like, my brother's coaching Europe forever. That's a different world, man. And you talk, that's a league. Just if you want to talk about that side of it, is about not potential, but productivity. But like, here's my thing is, you know, when we had teams, all right, you get to about the third week of preseason practice, guys about had it. They want to play games.
Right.
They want to play games, man. And they want to get into the meat of the season. These guys are going to play 12 games all season.
That's what I'm saying. 12 games, all the stuff you just said, moving, being a real, like, I'm not saying that kid, like Isaiah Todd to me was a wonderful kid to talk to.
Oh, he's great. He's a great kid.
So but you can see that just, based on our conversation with him, if I'm him, he sounds ready to do stuff. Like he doesn't sound like the average high school kid.
Yeah.
But a year from now, when you got to do insurance, I'm sure the league's taking care of insurance. When you got all these things, and it's not just, you know, but free time. Free time's a mother, man.
It's a killer. It's when did you ever worry more than when your guys had free time?
Oh. Hey, Seth, that was for me getting out of coaching. This sounds really stupid, but that was the hardest thing for me to adjust to. So much free time. Like, I'm a fat pig now. Why? Because I got nothing to do, so I just start eating. I walk around the house eating, and my wife's like, you quit eating? You're just eating because you're bored. I go, I know. I'm telling you, man.
Oh, you're the best. Well, hey, I just thought it was good. I thought it was great to have Ham. I thought it was great to have Isaiah. I thought it was great to just kind of get perspective on this thing because this thing's not going away and we can kind of revisit it. And appreciate Taylor, you finding time for us to kind of have this little emergency pod, brother.
Got to have an emergency pod. Taylor got it done.
It's a damn emergency. 5-alarm fire. Got to get it going, boys.
I got to get it going. You know what's next for me?
Hey, last
Instagram thing. Instagram live with happy hour with Paige Greenberg at 5 o'clock.
Hey, if we're still recording this,
is that old pizza?
Today on my show, a guy I said, hey, I'd love a pizza, cheese pizza. So one of my neighbors was listening, and she and her daughter ran out. Yeah, they brought me a pizza.
The king of Gary, Indiana.
You know what's an amazing thing about him? This dude gets more free stuff than anyone in the world.
So my question is, would you eat it? Like, I didn't know the person that dropped it off. We didn't even see her. My wife ran outside. I was doing my show from home.
Yeah, he did. I mean, your neighbor ordered it?
I mean, the hell? What's that?
Your neighbor ordered. You spray the box?
I didn't do nothing.
Enjoy your pizza. Chase it with a beer, will you please?
You know that.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.